What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. Today we are talking about the quote, "What gets measured gets managed." It's a quote by allegedly Peter Drucker, some management guru. I did a little Googling. People think he never really said this. I think this happens all the time with quotes where it's like, oh, this is a quote by Gandhi, or, you know, and then it's just not actually Gandhi or Nelson Mandela or whoever allegedly said it, but whatever. I don't really care who said it. The point is, what does it mean and how can we harness the quote's power for good? And sometimes maybe how we, you know, use it incorrectly or inefficiently or less good than we could be using it, right? And so what gets measured gets managed essentially suggests that when we measure something, we become more aware of it, which allows us to analyze it, understand it, and, you know, ultimately influence it or improve it. It implies that measurement or awareness is the first step in creating control or improvement in any process, because, like, once we quantify it, we can monitor it, we can set benchmarks and goals and make adjustments and improve it, right? Essentially, tracking a thing leads to the improvement of that thing. And it sure is a head nodder. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that people say, and, you know, when they say it, people around them just nod. They're like, yep, exactly. And I always laugh at some of those things because there's a long list of things that people should do, but like know they should do, but don't. Things that people like nod their head to and they're like, yeah, that's important. I should be doing that. And they're just not doing. Myself included. I just mean that this happens to everybody. And this is one of those quotes where it's like, yep. But then we don't actually think about it any deeper than that. And sometimes we use it, again, I don't want to say we use it incorrectly, but we don't harness its, we don't optimize the use of this quote, right? Because honestly, it does. It sounds like it makes perfect sense. But implementing it in the right way to be the most helpful is maybe a little more complicated. I think the assumption that this is always true, this quote, insofar as if I track X, I'll improve X, is flawed. Right? The assumption that that is always true. If I just track this thing, it'll get better. But we can use tracking or measuring or awareness for good if we do it in the right way for the right things for us and our goals. Right? It's common in the fitness space to talk about tracking your workouts, calories, macros, sleep, water, fiber, calories burned, your heart rate, your HRV, and a ton of other things. Right? How do we pick what we should measure and how we should measure? People tracking their body fat percentage, they're tracking, they have all these smart scales that give you just a plethora of data, right? How do we pick the things we invest in tracking and caring about such that we actually end up, you know, modifying them or, you know, within the context of the quote, how do we decide what to measure to make sure we actually manage it, to make sure that thing actually matters? And so if that sounded like a bit of a word salad, I promise I'll break it down a little bit. At the end of the day, you can't track everything all the time, right? You have a finite amount of cognition to spend on this stuff. You can't track everything, right? So we need to kind of triage, right? And decide what things are most important. Like when it comes down to what gets measured, gets managed, the implication there is that, well, I don't know if it's implied in there, but it's a thing that I think is important, which is that doesn't mean track everything, right? We need to think about what we're tracking and how we're tracking it. So three main points for this podcast, and then I'll break down each one a little bit. The first is make sure what you're measuring actually matters. The second one is make sure the act of measuring, the second one is that there's a spectrum to measuring. So the first one is that make sure what you're measuring actually matters. The second is there's a spectrum to measuring. And the third is make sure you can survive without it. And there will be two more points I add on as we go. And so let's start with that first one, which is make sure what you're measuring actually matters. Make sure the return on investment from optimizing this variable or managing this variable actually makes a difference. I mean, this is the most important point. You can't track everything. Make sure that the stuff you're tracking actually matters for the outcome you're looking to get, right? If someone wants to lose fat, we could talk about like things that really, really implicate fat loss directly that you might want to track, things like calories, protein, you know, your activity, your body weight, you know, and then there's, you know, some things that are slightly more indirect, but really can be helpful, things like tracking your fiber. And then there are things that might be wasted bandwidth. And when I say wasted bandwidth, or what I mean is the concept of an opportunity cost. I could have led with this a little bit, but there's an opportunity cost just means there's a cost to every decision, and that is the choices you're not making. So if I choose to get the salad, that means I've chosen not to get the burger. You know, if I've chosen to, you know, read a book tonight, that means I've chosen not to have, you know, watch TV. And so when you're, you know, there's an opportunity cost to all these choices. There's a decision that you're like, you can't track everything. You don't have the mental bandwidth to track and measure and create habits around every single metric when it comes to your health. And again, we're just talking about the context of fat loss, but there are some things that might be wasted bandwidth, a suboptimal, inefficient use of your finite amount of cognition. And the first one is water intake. I'm not saying drinking enough water is not important. I do think it's important, but I think in the list of all the things you could be tracking in the attempt to lose fat and get healthier, meticulously tracking your water intake probably isn't one of them. And we'll come back to that one, I guess, in the next section. Other things that might be a suboptimal use of your bandwidth are things like HRV, tracking carbs and fats, tracking your calories burned, potentially taking body measurements. And again, you might disagree on some of those things. You might say, well, that's a thing I really am focused on, right? It depends on the outcome and your perception of things benefit. I mean, there are some things that are like physiological facts. Like, you know, if you want to lose fat, tracking calories is the most direct thing to track for that outcome. But you might perceive certain benefits, and then that is part of it. Like, you might have a different take. You might say, hey, me tracking my calories burned, again, I doubt this is the case, but you might say, hey, that's a real motivator for me. It helps me stay more active. I'm in a good headspace about it, and it really helps me achieve my goals. So I will say there's some subjective part of this. But at the end of the day, make sure the thing that you're, you know, investing your time in terms of measuring actually leads to an outcome that matters, right? Some things might be in the middle ground, right? You might have things that are very directly related to your goal, like calories, protein, steps, body weight, in terms of, let's say, weight loss. And you might have other things that are maybe proxy measures. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next section, but you might have things like tracking alcoholic beverages, right? That, you know, alcoholic beverages, fiber, your sleep, those things aren't directly related to fat loss, but you might find that tracking them has a knock-on effect that you really, really think helps you with the goal that you have. And so that's totally logical as well. I'm not saying only track things that are directly, you know, causing the outcome you want. It's totally fine to track, measure, manage, improve things that indirectly lead you to the goal that you have. But just make sure that it matters. I just have seen so many people tracking their carbs and fats, not understanding that calories and protein are what matter for body composition changes. And they could make their, you know, whole process a whole lot simpler if they did not have specific carb and fat targets. I see people all the time tracking calories burned, a combination of inaccuracy and, in my opinion, some negative headspace around movement that can come from that. I see people, you know, taking body measurements in a way that doesn't really add to the positivity and, you know, doesn't really add much to their experience of trying to lose weight. But again, there is a individualized perception here. There's a subjective nature to this. If you find it valuable, that's what matters. So all I'm saying is make sure you ask yourself the question, is this thing important to me for the outcome that I'm looking for? And within this, right, within this whole, like, make sure what you're measuring actually matters, the first part we just went over is, like, make sure it actually directly or indirectly matters for the outcome that you have. The second is make sure that the act of measuring this thing is actually motivating you to change your behavior. Is what's being measured actually being managed? Is tracking my calories actually helping me change behaviors in a way that will help me lose weight? Is tracking my steps actually motivating me to be more active? And if not, maybe don't measure that thing, right? Maybe it's wasted bandwidth because your subconscious thinks, oh, this isn't actually that important. Or a very important part of this is just consider why that's not motivating you to change your behavior, right? Again, tracking calories can by itself, as the saying suggests, what gets measured gets managed, cause people to modify their eating behaviors so that they can hit their calories and lose weight. something like a Hawthorne effect, or, you know, this idea of like, once you've layered on some accountability around a thing, you might almost subconsciously change your behavior, which is what the whole premise of what gets measured, gets managed is based on, right? You might, just by starting to track your calories, you might find out that, oh, you're eating a whole bunch of ultra processed foods that are not filling. You might shift your dietary pattern to more whole foods, more protein, more fiber, more plant foods, just for the simple nature of, well, that's going to keep me more full and help me hit my calories more consistently. You might cook more because you realize that helps you save some calories. You might pay attention, closer attention to your portion size, again, because it helps you hit your calories. You might, you know, have less liquid calories, whatever. Just make sure that the act, in this case of tracking calories, is actually motivating you to change your behavior, because it's the behavior change that is really what matters. Like, it's not the measuring, it's, does measuring motivate me to actually manage, right? I think a lot of people, and one of the kind of things that permeates through this whole discussion is a lot of people are tracking shit that either doesn't matter at all, or they're not actually managing it. They're just tracking it. They're just tracking a million different sleep metrics and a million different, you know, food metrics and a million different exercise metrics and a million different body scale metrics. And it's just this data freaking overload. Track the things that matter for the outcome that you're looking for, and track the things that motivate you to change the actual behaviors that matter to get you the outcome you're looking for. Is the thing you're measuring actually meaningfully impacting the outcome? And is it actually causing you to, you know, feel motivated enough to modify your behaviors? That's what matters. What gets measured might not get managed. And if it doesn't, be curious why not. And very likely there's something to learn from those answers. Number two, there is a spectrum when it comes to measuring. There are a lot of ways to measure something, and some may work really well for you and others may not. Let's use two examples. Maybe one is improving your sleep and another is tracking calories. I think that those have a lot of potential ways of measuring stuff. When we look at improving your sleep, we have direct versus, let's say, indirect or kind of like proxy sort of measures. Direct is maybe you're measuring with sleep scores. You wear an Oura ring and it's giving you this all-encompassing single metric of how you slept. Maybe you're tracking your HRV, your resting heart rate, things that, you know, somewhat directly tell us about how you slept or how you've been sleeping or your stress levels. But then we have other things like proxy or indirect measures. Like we talked about before when we were talking about tracking calories, there might be, you know, if you want to eat in a calorie deficit, telling somebody just track in a deficit isn't the most helpful thing. There are likely other things they could be measuring and managing that actually directly aid in their ability to eat less calories. And so the same thing with sleep, you know, you might track your consistency of waking up to your alarm at the same time every day, right? Consistent sleep and wake times is like one of the top 3 to 5 things I can recommend to people who wanna improve their sleep quality, is to go to bed at the same time and wake up at the same time. And even if you just focused on one of those, if you just said, I'm waking up every day at 5 o'clock in the morning, for the first few days, let's say you've been going to bed at 11, for the first few days, you're going to be tired, right? That's not enough sleep. But over the course of a week, if you got up 7 days in a row at 5 a.m., I promise you, come 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock, you're going to be tired. And so, you know, you might say, well, I want to manage my sleep. I want to improve my sleep. And someone else says, oh, you should track your sleep scores. Yeah, that's a direct way of measuring how you're sleeping. But the behavior that might actually lead to the improvement of sleep are things like consistent sleep and wake time, getting off your phone at a certain time, consistency with reading before bed, maybe something like a 3-2-1 rule where 3 hours before bed, you don't eat or drink, 2 hours before bed, you don't work, and 1 hour before bed, you don't look at screens. Tracking those things, while not necessarily directly tracking the sleep quality itself, are powerful for, you know, tracking habits that ultimately lead to an outcome might be more powerful than just tracking that outcome in itself. And when it comes to tracking calories, it's very similar. You could, you know, there's a spectrum of measuring. On one hand, you could track every morsel of food to the gram with specific macro targets and really tight windows. You know, I'm going to hit 140 grams of protein, I'm going to hit 200 carbs, I'm going to hit 50 grams of fat, and I'm going to do that within 3 grams each. You know, and you could take your food scale with you to restaurants and shit, right? Like that is the most extreme version of tracking your calories. But it's a spectrum. You could do the same thing, but maybe not take your food scale with you and just estimate those meals out. You could do the same thing, but estimate the meals out and just track calories and protein instead of carbs and fats as well. You could do the same thing, but estimate meals out and just track calories and protein. And instead of having specific gram targets, you could use ranges. Hey, I'm going to hit 2,200 to 2,400 calories and eat at least 120 grams of protein, for example, instead of having mega specific targets. You could do all of what I just said. And instead of just using daily targets, you could look at things on weekly averages, right? Instead of doing all of this, you could just keep a food journal, right? There is a spectrum. When people are like, oh, tracking calories is obsessive, my bias is that they've been doing it in a way that is on the extreme end of the spectrum. If someone tells me tracking their calories is obsessive, the image that they have of tracking tends to be that first one where, you know, maybe taking the food scale out, I hope that that sounds extreme to people. It is extreme. Most people are tracking your macros. It's extreme. It's like, yeah, because you've been tracking all three macros with mega tight targets, everything on a food scale, you know, never estimating, just taking it to an extreme. And so when people say, oh, tracking your food's obsessive, my bias is that they don't acknowledge that this is a spectrum and that they could be doing things more flexibly and they could actually still be benefiting from the whole what gets measured gets managed thing if they just measured it in a different way and maybe a more flexible, less intense way. Point number three, make sure you can survive without it. I will say, excuse my language, I have a stick up my ass about this one. I really do. Of course, we're going to talk about this whole, we're going to talk about it in the context of tracking calories. I don't want to obsess over that. Like that's the be all end all of habits around nutrition. It sure as heck isn't, but it's one that people are familiar with. And it's certainly a habit that a lot of us can reference, you know, whether we've done it or not, we have feelings about it. So when it comes to tracking your calories or anything, practice surviving without it. Practice living and executing habits without measuring it, right? What do you know about eating balanced meals, well-portioned meals without your tracking app? What do you know about setting yourself up for a good night's sleep without obsessing over your Oura Ring scores, right? Some practical advice. Make sure you're working on underlying habits that make the thing either improve directly or easier to stay consistent with, right? Don't just track outcomes, track processes, track habits, track indirect things that lead to the outcome you're actually looking for. Don't just track your sleep scores. Again, track, you know, your consistency with getting up at the same time, right? And have specific times during your measuring process where you don't measure the thing to see what you know. If I have a client who's tracking calories, we are going to consider not tracking meals out so that we can practice, you know, balanced meal building, practice portion control, practice what sort of philosophy around food do we have if not for the measuring process, right? I might have clients have an intentional untracked day so they can practice building meals based on other philosophies than I got to make it fit this many calories, right? I'll have clients not track on vacation or a long weekend so they can have multiple days where they're relying on habits and principles, and they might not do it perfectly, but exposing that you don't know how to eat otherwise is an incredibly important part of the coaching process listen, if you want to get to a point where you don't track your calories anymore, then you need to practice it. And if you practice it and you suck at it, then that's a really important thing to work on, right? You know, I want people to learn how to make, you know, decent estimates or, you know, versus like itemizing everything out meticulously when you eat out or not tracking it at all and learning about how to build a balanced meal filled with the nutrition you need and keeping you full. People ask me all the time how to stop tracking. And I have a whole podcast on it. I'll link it in the show notes. It's basically how to stop tracking or how to, you know, stop tracking calories, how to stop tracking. I don't know what the title was, but essentially it's basically how to stop tracking your calories. And the short answer, and I'll say it a little tongue in cheek, is just keep doing what you were doing. The thing is, if you can't articulate what that was, or your answer is, I was just hitting my numbers, you know, that's a problem. You know, if you can't articulate what that was that you were doing, what habits were going on behind the scenes to make it work, then you really need to shift your focus to that. If your answer to how you lost weight was, I track my calories, and it doesn't include all of the habits that allowed you to do that consistently, it's going to be really hard to transition off tracking. It's going to be really hard for tracking to be a really enjoyable experience, right? Practice while you're in it. Don't just rely on the measuring process. When you remove the measuring here and there, you will expose what you do or don't know about the habits. I think that that's such an important thing. Even if you are somebody who doesn't mind tracking, sees yourself doing it for the long term, I still hold 100% in my heart that tracking will be less stressful, more convenient, you know, less anxiety inducing. Even if you find it not very stressful, not very anxiety inducing, it will be a better experience if you spend some time surviving without it and learning the other principles that kind of guide the way you eat. There's one little bonus here, number four, and that's your relationship with tracking or measuring a thing will change over time. And you should check back in with your relationship with a measurement or with a measuring process over time, right? Everything has a wavering amount of benefit over time. I think if you've never tracked your calories or your food journaling, whatever, any of the spectrum of tracking, that there's a ton of education to doing it for a period of time. The benefit of tracking your calories is highest when you've never done it. Right. And I'm not saying it goes straight down and after a year, there's no benefit at all, but it is true. If you were to graph out the benefit of tracking, it would be at its highest point, probably right at the start, because you're learning a whole bunch of things you didn't know at all, right? The amount you're learning will go down over time as you learn more, not complicated. I think we all feel that, right? Education and habits will always be the pillars. And after a while, after you've gained the education and changed the habits, you may feel like tracking is doing less for you, right? Like I've tracked, there's so many stories about people who are, oh, I tracked for 5 years, 3 years, 1 year, 10 years. And then I kind of learned over that process how to do this without tracking. And I will put myself in that category. I don't like using myself as an example, but at this point, the difference in my nutrition between when I'm tracking, when I'm not tracking is almost nothing. Spending enough time not tracking, practicing habits, maybe learning a little bit more about what foods keep me full, satiety signals, portion sizes of certain foods. You know, I just started tracking again for the first time in like 5-7 years. My wife is doing a small cut and I said, you know, just for solidarity, I'll track with her. And I'm just proud that I'm in a place where once I started tracking, I was like, yeah, this is just, I'm just doing the same thing. Tracking is no longer changing my behavior because those behaviors were already kind of foundational. And another, you know, because we've been using calories and sleep as our examples here. I think a lot of people love their Oura Ring, right? Oura Ring is a ring that you wear. It measures your sleep. It has some of the best sleep technology out there. I wore an Oura Ring for, I think, 18 months straight. I have a podcast. It's one of my first ever podcasts I recorded like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, probably over 5 years ago now. 4 years ago, whatever. And it's a perfect example of this changing relationship over time. Because when I first got my Oura Ring, I was not sleeping well. I wasn't managing stress. I didn't have any mindfulness practice in my life. And tracking my sleep taught me a lot. I learned how eating before bed affected my sleep. I learned how alcohol affected my sleep. I learned how being intimate affected my sleep. I learned how TV before bed impacted my sleep, how reading before bed impacted my sleep. Drinking too much water, let's say, before bed impacted my sleep. I learned a lot. How meditating before bed affected my sleep. I learned a lot. But after the 12-month mark or so, I wasn't really learning anything anymore. I was just getting off to the dopamine of the sleep score. So I was just like waking up every morning, checking my sleep score and either getting anxiety because it says I didn't sleep well or getting a dopamine hit and excitement when it told me I did sleep well. And I wasn't learning anything anymore, but it took me a while to take a step back and look at the situation from 3,000 feet and say, Jordan, this measuring process is no longer serving you. You are no longer, like, the act of measuring your sleep, your resting heart rate, your HRV, your respiratory rate, your body temperature, it was no longer impacting my behaviors, right? And for some people, just the accountability of tracking those things will help them be more consistent. And I want to say that because I don't want to poo-poo that as a potential outcome. For some people, just tracking an outcome is just enough accountability to keep their behaviors in check. For me, it wasn't feeling that way. I was doing those things already. I had modified behavior. I was sleeping well. You know, I didn't have, in fact, I was, the only thing that was impacting my sleep was the fact that I was so obsessed with tracking my sleep that the act of tracking it was stressing me out. So all I'm saying is, I'm not saying you can't track a thing forever or that there's some time limit on. I'm just saying, check back in with yourself over time with how you feel about measuring, you know, X, and does it still check the boxes of meaningful and actually motivating me to manage it? And again, on that Oura Ring story, it no longer was. It was for a very long time, but after a while, I had changed my behavior in a positive way, and those behaviors became so ingrained, and I realized actually measuring it was stressing me out, and removing the measurement process at that point allowed me to keep doing the habits and just kind of ride off into the sunset. My sleep has never been better for the last 3 years, minus having my daughter, but she actually sleeps like friggin' Snorlax. And so, yeah, I hope that story helps a little bit. Just tracking's the same way. You might be 5 years into tracking and realizing that all of a sudden tracking is starting to be stressful. And in the beginning it wasn't, but that might be because you've learned so much, you've achieved so much, and you're kind of like, well, this thing isn't as beneficial to me now. And so your relationship will change. So we'll just wrap it up with some final thoughts. I think measuring and awareness can be super powerful. Just know that you don't have bandwidth to measure and manage everything, so pick shit that matters and actually helps you change your behaviors. Measuring is a spectrum. Don't assume that you absolutely need the most detailed version to derive or to achieve the benefit of measurement or awareness, right? I want you to practice or at least imagine surviving without it. What sort of things can you learn from the experience of surviving without the act of measuring it? And last, your relationship with measuring a thing will evolve over time, and that's okay. Check back in over time and see if the measurement process is still serving you. All right? Thanks for listening, guys. I'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.